MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, December 5, 2023, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore with a look at today's headlines. There was a stabbing in Chelsea yesterday. A local school district will be implementing a new cell phone policy after the first of the year. And a local firefighter retires.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we'll hear from Linfield quarterback Clayton Marenghi, wrapping up a great college career at Endicott. Rick?
Thank you, Bill. Snow showers, mid-30s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 5.05 p.m. A 17-year-old was stabbed yesterday afternoon in Chelsea. WCVB-TV is reporting today that the boy is recovering from a stabbing at a large fight on Hawthorne Street. A 19-year-old man has been charged with assault and battery following the incident. WFXT-TV is reporting today that an 80-year-old North Reading woman died from injuries last week after being trapped under a car in her driveway. According to the police report, the car belonged to the woman and there was no other driver in the car. Her name has not been released. A Saugus man who worked as a postal worker in Marblehead was sentenced to time served and 2 years of supervised release for his role in a pair of schemes to steal money from the U.S. Postal Service. Charlie McKenna writes in today's Daily Item that 28-year-old Zion Johnson was also ordered to repay just over $18,000 restitution to the Postal Service. At the State House, Democrats pushed through a supplemental budget yesterday that includes $250 million for the state's migrant crisis amid opposition from the legislature's GOP minority, who blocked its passage for several days. Christian Wade writes in the Salem News that the $3.1 billion spending plan is meant to close out the previous fiscal year. Swampscott Public Schools will be rolling out a new student cell phone policy in January. According to a news story in the Daily Item, the district is concerned about cyberbullying, among other things. Swampscott School Superintendent Pamela Angelakis is also concerned about cell use by students in the classroom at the high school.
I've been disappointed by how much TikTok is being watched during classes. How many phones are put like this, and the teacher's at the front of the room, and nothing but TikTok.
While you were in the classroom?
While I was in the classroom with administrators. I've witnessed administrators going in, talking to the class, and students aren't paying attention because they're watching videos. I witnessed one of our field hockey players rewatching the trauma of the video during class when the teacher's talking, but was so fixated on that accident that was watching that. So I see both sides to this. Unfortunately, I was that kid that could make a true false answer, true or false, depending what was going on in my head. And so I understand the apprehension, I understand the desire for more communication, but we're going to give it a shot.
A grant has provided money for pouches for the cell phones to be collected in the classrooms.
It's 73% of the teachers at the high school want to give Yonder a try. And so I think it was closer to 90% feel like we have a real cell phone problem here. They didn't necessarily think Yonder was the solution, but we have to start somewhere. So I look at this as twofold. The Yonder conversation and the Yonder procedure is going to roll out in January. In the meantime, Mr. Kohut has tasked the School Advisory Council with coming up with what could you live with? And one of the things that they came up with is a locked box with a handle that all the cell phones would go into, and the teacher, in the event of emergency, would carry that box with them. So there are other things being looked at as a result of this only being grant funded for a year.
That's Swampscott School Superintendent Pamela Angelakis speaking at the most recent school committee meeting. And Linda Henry is retiring from the Gloucester Fire Department. Ethan Foreman writes in today's Gloucester Times that she was the first Gloucester firefighter to complete the 11-week Massachusetts Firefighting Academy in Stowe. Henry has been with the department for 23 years. She is now 65 years of age, and she was hired as a recruit at age 41. Assistant Fire Chief Bob Rivas says, "She was an awesome employee. We love having her, and we are definitely going to miss her." Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO News Sports. News updates throughout the day. Great local sports coverage. Giving voice to North Shore newsmakers.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics lost to the Pacers last night, 122-112. The Bruins will host the Sabres Thursday night. Linfield football quarterback Clayton Marenghi had a great college career at Endicott, the league's offensive player this past year, and another NCAA postseason appearance with the Gulls.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a great year. I mean, you can't really ask for much more when it comes to really what we did this year. I mean, obviously we're really looking for that first-round playoff win, but I think if I'm going to point any guys out, I mean, I immediately think of Coach McGonigal when it comes to the team and I's success this year and in years past, really. I think he's allowed to really just have me come into my own as a player and person. And, I mean, Coach, no, it's been so eye-opening to meet with him every day this past year and just go over film and pick his brain. And that's something I'm so grateful to have these past couple years.
How did Marenghi grow as a player from Linfield High to his senior year at Endicott College?
High school football, you're kind of playing with guys you grew up with and you've been playing with since you were young. And then, like I said, in college, you're kind of thrown in there and you don't really know anybody. And it definitely helps that we're with each other every single day pretty much in college. So you kind of got to, I mean, like I said, just start from scratch in terms of being like confident in yourself and really meeting new guys and putting yourself out there and just being a good teammate. So, I mean, over these past couple of years, I'm really glad I got to meet all these guys. I definitely think I made the right decision where I want to go to school, but yeah, I can't thank them enough.
Linfield quarterback Clayton Marenghi speaking with our own Rick Moore. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Tuesday.
A unique holiday gift.
If you're tired of giving gifts that nobody wants or uses, think about giving something they actually need and use, like a soap bar. This is a brand new soap bar by the company Exo Bath. It's not just like any soap bar, it has a unique twist. It has a space carved into the top of it that then you can take an old soap sliver and put it right inside to reuse it. If you know somebody that uses soap bars, think about giving them this bar as a gift. It's available for purchase on xobath.com. And right now you can even get your first purchase 20% off with the code HELLOXO.
Click on the banner at the top of our website.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we transition now into winter sports as we're talking with Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner. And Coach, first of all, welcome back, and thank you and your brother Jay for being with us over these many years. I was just reminiscing with Jay a little while ago about the first time that I met you guys. I was broadcasting a game from Salem State, Marblehead. I don't know who they were playing, but Jay was
Winthrop.
Well, okay, so you remember that.
Yeah.
And Jay was scouting, and since then we've learned to cover the Cape Ann League and broadcast games and talk with you. But anyway, down to business. How is John Gardner, and what's the status of Linfield hockey going into this season?
So the phrase I'll use that I came up with in the off season, because the off seasons are long, and I have a lot of time to think and a lot of time to stew, especially on what happened last year. Great year, but we just kind of ran into a hot goaltender and a good team bought in. A good friend of mine, Ryan Sheehan, coaches Triton. But the state I'd say we're in, we're at critical mass. That's where we're at right now. It's pretty much like we've had two tremendous years, kind of. You know, it's crazy thinking back our first year winning two games and then getting 20 last year and then being disappointed that that you lost in the quarterfinals. But we're at a critical mass where it's like we need to we're not going to mince words. Like it's you know, get the causeway and compete for state championship or bust.
I want to get to that, but you always have philosophies or words of wisdom or goals. I don't know how you last year was the pillars of hockey or something like that.
Yep.
What's the outlook this year? What's the framework within your working with these kids as you first meet with them?
Yeah, so there's a lot. There's a lot there, and you can't take it all in one sitting just like the kids, but again, just right now, it's just learning from last year's mistakes and continue to build, you know, install a little bit more because we return 19 players.
Wow.
And then we have two good freshmen, a goalie and a forward, some promotions from the JV team. So, but the bottom line is we have the core group back, so we don't have to start from square one. We can kind of like build, review, and then build and add some new install of different hockey mm-hmm. strategies that I've kind of done some deep dives this off season. But like I said, it's the short term goals are we play in the Christmas tournament in Boston Latin, so that's a chance to win some hardware. Win, it's not win or you go home, it's win or you don't get any hardware. So those are like good pressure situations. That's in December.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have the Cape Ann League that we're going for a three-peat, and it's even tougher this year with Essex Tech jumping in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the Vineyard Tournament in February, the tournament before the tournament, and then obviously again. Last year we would use the slogan measured in March, and we won our first two and then kind of came up short. So we're going a step further with our kind of slogans and our mantras, and we basically want to go with do you want to be immortal in March, because that's the way to do that.
I love it.
Game, so.
Oh man, yeah. I love that. And you know, John, I haven't talked with you or really many other coaches preseason in terms of what it's like coming into before the season gets started. And so let's take this past week, a week ago, when football ends and you get into winter sports, what is the role what have you done in the past? What's the habit that you have in terms of greeting your team, getting your team ready? Because I'm sure you communicate with them in one way or another in the off season. But before that first day of practice, you probably pretty much know who's coming in and who you're going to be talking to. But what's that whole procedure like? What's the format?
Yeah, so we're always right around 40 players in the program, and that gives you a good mix of like carrying anywhere from 24, 25 varsity guys, and then somewhere underneath that, like less for JV, because they only play hour games as opposed to 2 hour games. Occasionally you'll get both teams with a good amount of bodies and you could play a little bit into the hour instead of rushing a 50 minute game. But our priority is getting a really good and fair tryout. And over the years we've come up with a good format with that. I can't understand why guys, I know ice time's at a premium, but you can't have 40 guys skating around on the ice. It's a waste of time. So we basically split the team into two evenly matched teams, and we'll do split sessions on Monday. It's a bit of a cannonball run. I'll go to Hockey Town and run a session from 3 to 4 and then get in my car and scoot up to Peabody from 4:15 to 5:15.
Yep.
And then on Tuesday, in the past, we've done 6 a.m. for varsity just to get some skating and conditioning in and split the group. And in the years past, we would do all JV returners and freshmen on the ice at the same time. And if you can't stand out in that group, you ain't going to cut it when the big boys are playing with you on Wednesday night when mm-hmm. we do like a full-fledged like inter-program game. So that kind of is nice because some guys are drill guys, some guys are gamers. And there's some kids that look like they struggled with some of the drills. Some of the drills I constructed are kind of a mad scientist, like they're difficult, so you kind of expose some weaknesses. And then out of nowhere, when they're playing on Wednesdays, they're just playing, and they stick to their instincts and their strengths. And some of the guys just like look a light years better. So,
mm-hmm.
We got with all those returners, there wasn't a ton of decisions. That doesn't mean it wasn't hard. I had to, I don't know if Jay told you, I had to sit down with my nephew who was a freshman, and he didn't make varsity. So
no, he didn't. He didn't. When I talked with Jay, we didn't get into that. But that's the next thing I was going to ask you. One of the hard parts about coaching is that it's cutting people. And in that case, when it's a family member, it's going to be even harder. But you have to also, I think, balance that and be honest with kids and let them know that, which makes the process of cutting them a little bit easier, I would suppose.
Of course. I mean, I don't like when people just like post a list and run. So we'll post the list, and then I make sure I go to the junior varsity practice the next day. And whether you want to talk to me or not, we're having a conversation. So Whether it's a kid that's like, oh, no, I knew I was going to, like, we'll talk about, like, what they need to work on, their strengths, their weaknesses. There's definitely always a couple guys that are disappointed and thought they were right there, and they are. And sometimes we'll leave, like, an open-ended spot, like, you didn't earn it. You didn't earn it the past 3 days, but our JV coaches are, they're crazy like us, so they're in it, and they're in our ears all the time with our guys. We do joint program skates. At least once every 2 weeks, but most of the time it's pretty consistent where I can get my own eyes on them. And if a kid looks like he's working hard and getting better and deserves a bump, my JV coaches will give me that word and will reward them with a practice and whatnot. But those conversations, a lot of people don't like having those face-to-face tough conversations. I think we've kind of cultivated an environment where, like, you know, we lean in on that and have the conversations.
Well,
I not only did my nephew, but I'm at the age where a lot of my friends have kids.
Yep.
At the high school level. So,
but you know, down down the road, you know, that they're going to look back at that and appreciate it, whether they made the team or not. They're going to say, okay, coach gave us a fair break, and that was their way to do it.
Yep, 100%.
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about the team that you have and the preseason that you have up to this point, because, man, the first game is coming up, on Saturday?
Saturday. Yeah, Saturday we open up against the team that ended our season, so that'll be fun.
Okay. All right, so tell me about what you have. Tell me about what you have coming back, Coach, if you would, please, and then maybe a little bit about the scrimmages.
Yeah, so we're fortunate enough where not often a 20-win team returns 19 players. So that's that doesn't get you anything. That just kind of like, you're returning some experienced guys. We return a lot of firepower up front. We have we actually have three senior lines intact.
Wow.
We have a junior line that's very talented. And then we have three senior defensemen, two junior defensemen, and we had a couple recently promoted JV defensemen that were freshmen last year. They're sophomores this year, so they're kind of learning on the job, which is great, having the depth that we have. Sophomore goalie, very talented kid, Michael Morange, was a really good backup for our all-league defenseman, Danny McSweeney. All-star, sorry, defenseman last year, goalie Danny McSweeney. And he really came along throughout the year, and then we actually have a freshman goalie that's very talented as well, so it's a great healthy competition between the two of them, so we're pleased with that. So yeah, we return a lot. Again, I've expressed to them that doesn't get you anything.
Mm-hmm. I talked with Clayton Marenghi a couple of days ago over at Endicott College, the incredible year he's had. And he and his brother Cooper, I know, were standouts at Linfield, and they always, both of them, just the first thing they mention is their tutelage at Linfield High School. And Coach, I know you take great pride in that legacy and that tradition that is over there, and you and your brother Jay have upheld that. And that has to be transferred, I'm sure, across to your captains, which filters down to the other kids as well.
Absolutely. That word legacy is a big one. We always talk about that concept of you're a part of something bigger than yourself. We always kick the season off, not with tryouts, but the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we always have our alumni game. You mentioned Cooper Marenghi, who was a captain for us. We, us at Linfield being a hockey town, we'll do like an over 40 skate. I think I've mentioned it before. And then we'll do like a 14 beanpot draft where it's like 60 skaters, not counting goalies. The all-in total, I think our max has been 86 skaters. This year we were at about 60, 65. So Cooper actually was on the team that won the Pioneer Beanpot this year. So, but yeah, just to show them, like, they're seeing a guy that graduated from the class of 73, and then he's pushing 65, 70, and then we'll have a kid that just graduated, he's 18. So it's just to see them all under one roof and competing. We try and create that culture of just competition. So yeah, it's just that stuff like that. It just kind of it stings not advancing and making it as far as we wanted to, but like seeing kids like that and giving these guys lessons for the rest of their life, that's kind of really what it's all about.
And John, the stress, the pressure, and all that stuff, working with kids, and you got to win. But damn, I'm hearing that you. you really enjoy it and you still have fun with it at your level.
Absolutely. Like it's great to be able to do what you love, and this has been a passion of ours since we were at Linfield High. Not so much when we were young. When we were younger, we weren't the best players and struggled a bit, but we stayed with it. But like since we've been, since we played at Linfield High for Drew Taylor, we've been just all in, passionate about hockey, and to be able to be back here coaching the Pioneers, it's just very humbling. And we're just going to keep working, building on what we've built already, which is pretty special.
Absolutely. But to have that experience of struggling as a youngster, that has to help you as a coach.
Oh, definitely. And as I mentioned, our first year, being the prideful, competitive group that me and Jay are, the duo that we are, just to start your first year and win two games. It took us 13 games to get our first win. So that was wasn't a great Thanksgiving / Christmas / winter, but it kind of fuels you. When you kind of fall on your face, you just got to get up and keep going. So you learn a lot from your failures.
Yeah, and you identify with the kids who are struggling, and that's why you, as you just mentioned a little while ago, you talk to them face to face and tell them, work harder, do better, show me what you got. Let me ask you now, finally, before we get come to the end of this, and I've taken up enough of your time, but tell me, please, what you've learned from the first two scrimmages against Danvers and Marblehead.
Just some little bugaboos, a little rust with some of the guys. We lost our two captain defensemen, one of which is just a really good offensive dynamic skating defenseman that was a one-man breakout. So we knew we'd struggle a little bit with the breakout, and that's what we did a little bit against Danvers. They're always a good hockey town. We put up a nine spot, but we gave up four or five, and not happy about that. Fix that, tighten the screws a little bit the day or two after that, and then we scrimmaged Marblehead, who's recently dropped down from Division Two after having a great year. So they were very, very good, and for us to kind of keep them at bay for most of the game, they scored on the first shift in a little bit of a trend with us kind of not getting out of the room on time, and then in turn sometimes we're thinking about getting back in the room at intermission and we give up a goal late. So that's happened a couple times on both scrimmages, so we'll fix that.
Mm-hmm.
But really pleased with the turnaround from Marblehead, I think, was a stronger a little further along than Danvers was, and they returned a lot. And for us to keep them, we were up 2-1 with about 3 minutes left, took a bad penalty, gave up a power play goal, went into overtime, and then it was the best thing that could have happened to us because we played 5 minutes of overtime, did a shootout, so it was just like check all those boxes in the preseason, which was awesome. So I'm very encouraged with our depth and our skill set with the whole team, and just to have some guys you see that you kind of you kind of project where they're going to be, and then to see it with your own eyes, it doesn't always materialize, but then when you start to see it and then some, it's exciting. So we have a couple sophomores and juniors that didn't play as much that like really put in the work this summer, and they're really looking to take their spot. So it's very exciting.
All right, next time we talk, I want to ask about individuals, of course. But tell me a little bit about what you expect, what the deal is this week in getting prepared for Saturday's game against Triton.
Yeah, so again, it's just a build-up, from first scrimmage to second to third, and then eventual, lights, camera, action, I would say this right in front of the Triton team, so I don't even care. It's like you're not trying to do any misinformation here. They have a really good goalie, and they have two defensemen that are pretty dynamic. So the big thing that we had is just cashing our chances, get some traffic. Sounds pretty generic, but if the goalie can't see it, he's not going to stop it most of the time, or not be able to control the rebound as well. So we got to just get in front of that kid and just use our strength, which is our speed and our depth, and just kind of wear teams down. But every single game, with the exception of one, over the past, 6-7 years, Ryan Sheens coaches the Triton team. He's from Linfield. Every single time we play, I joke. It used to be like whoever is going to win the last 5 minute wins the game. Then it shifted to the last minute. Then it shifted to literally, did that beat the buzzer, like 0.7 second goals? He's done it to me. I've done it to him. So it's just going to be who makes plays at the end, and my guys will be, you know, expecting a good, hard-fought, close game to start the Cape Ann League. It's going to be exciting.
Sounds like a spectator's delight, man. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
All right,
Absolutely.
So that's 2 o'clock on Saturday, Triton at the Graff up in Newburyport. Coach, thank you, and you brought us so much for everything. And we're going to talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely. I told you there's no time frame for me. You don't take up any of my time. I'll talk to you all night. And that game got shifted to noon at the Graff.
To noon. I'll make sure I make a note of that in the post. Hey, John, thank you so much. Good luck. Talk to you probably next week. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Take care. All right. That's John Gardner, who is the Linfield High School hockey coach with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.